Welcome to this daily PBJ devotional. If you're reading the Old Testament with us this year, read Leviticus 9, Proverbs 24, and Psalm 96. This devotional is about Proverbs 24. Do not envy wicked men or desire their company, for their hearts devise violence, and their lips declare trouble. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with every precious and beautiful treasure. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge enhances his strength. Only with sound guidance should you wage war, and victory lies in a multitude of counselors. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the meeting place. He who plots evil will be called a schemer. A foolish scheme is a sin, and a mocker is detestable to men. If you faint in the day of distress, how small is your strength? Rescue those being led away to death, and restrain those stumbling toward the slaughter. If you say, "Behold, we did not know about this," does not he who weighs hearts consider it? Does not the one who guards your life know? Will he not repay a man according to his deeds? Eat honey, my son, for it is good, and the honeycomb is sweet to your taste. Know, therefore, that wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, there is a future for you, and your hope will never be cut off. Do not lie in wait, O wicked man, near the dwelling of the righteous. Do not destroy his resting place. For though a righteous man may fall 7 times, he still gets up, but the wicked stumble in bad times. Do not gloat when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart rejoice when he stumbles, or the Lord will see and disapprove, and turn his wrath away from him. Do not fret over evildoers, and do not be envious of the wicked, for the evil man has no future. The lamp of the wicked will be extinguished. My son, fear the Lord and the King, and do not associate with the rebellious. For they will bring sudden destruction. Who knows what ruin they can bring? These also are the sayings of the wise. To show partiality in judgment is not good. Whoever tells the guilty, "You are innocent," peoples will curse him and nations will denounce him. But it will go well with those who convict the guilty, and rich blessing will come upon them. An honest answer given is like a kiss on the lips. Complete your outdoor work and prepare your field. After that, you may build your house. Do not testify against your neighbor without cause, and do not deceive with your lips. Do not say, "I will do to him as he has done to me. I will repay the man according to his work." I went past the field of a slacker, and by the vineyard of a man lacking judgment. Thorns had grown up everywhere. Thistles had covered the ground, and the stone wall was broken down. I observed, and took it to heart. I looked, and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and need like a bandit. This is God's word. It is tempting to choose the most comfortable option. Today's reading gives us 2 proverbs that caution us against the easy choice. The first proverb is Proverbs 24:27, which says in the NIV, "Put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house." I visualize this piece of wisdom going from Solomon to his newlywed son. As the young couple begins to embark on life together, they dream of having a home of their own. Using the property subdivided by his father, the young couple faces a choice. They can spend their time and whatever money they may have building a comfortable starter home on their new land. Or they could live with Ma and Pa for a while as they work the soil, plant the crops, and tend to the weeds. After the process of starting their farm has begun and the growth of the crops looks promising for their first harvest, then they can start to build a home of their own. No one really wants to live with their parents, and it's more fun to build a house than to plant a field. But the field will produce income. It will get you started in life financially. It will provide for you in the future. If you build the home first, it will give you independence and a comfortable start to your life as an adult. But it will also drain your finances and delay that first harvest. It is far wiser to put productivity over comfort in the short term, so that you can be more comfortable in the future. But that takes a disciplined approach to life that probably doesn't come naturally to most people. In a similar way, verses 30 through 34 describe the ease of laziness. If a farmer skips one day of planting, is the crop ruined? No. But it is easy to let one day off become one week off, and legitimate need for rest can snowball, as verse 33 says. We feel as if we'll be able to work better tomorrow if we rest up today. And that may be true. It may also be a way of rationalizing our procrastination. I lived most of my childhood as a procrastinator. I came home from school and I told myself I would do my homework or study for my test after I ate a snack. Oh, but Scooby-Doo is on, so I'll watch that just to relax for a few minutes. But it's going to be dinner time soon, so I'll get busy after that. And you get the idea. I created habits of laziness in my life by making one excuse after another, delaying the work that I needed to do until later and later into the night. After I created that habit of laziness in my life, by the time I was in seminary, I was turning in papers at the last minute after an all-nighter. Now, I got decent grades, but in my heart, I knew I wasn't doing my best work or getting the most out of the opportunities God had given me. Eventually, I learned to build some disciplined habits. But even today, if I deviate from those habits, the old sin of procrastination is ready to slither back into my life. But what does any of this have to do with God? These are wise bits of knowledge and helpful for productivity, but couldn't we have learned them from somewhere else? Why did God encode them into His holy word? Well, one answer is that these productivity problems, seeking the easy way, the comfortable way, and allowing laziness and procrastination to take over, these are actually spiritual problems. They are manifestations of a heart that wants to disobey God. God created the world to respond to the diligent work of humanity. He gave us everything we need to provide for ourselves. But we have to obey His laws of sowing and reaping, of prioritizing investment over consumption. Our faith in Christ should lead us toward a productive life, because we have faith in His commands and know that when we obey His commands and work with diligence, God will provide and bless us. So, are you working that way in your life? Are you prioritizing productivity over comfort? Are you pushing back the easy sin of procrastination and putting time and effort into your work? Think about that today, and I'll see you next time. May God bless you. I hope you have a great day today.